He's risen.
He's risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Can you imagine that first morning? Running to the tomb and finding out he's not there.
Joy unspeakable.
Yes.
Wow. The world changed after that day.
That's right.
Because the church was born. 50 days later, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and poof, the world's never been the same. You're it. You're the church. I hope your world is changing as you live for Him. Well, here we are. Praise the Lord. Another year. Another great reminder of what Christ has done for us. Glasses.
Maybe the last one. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Hey. Yeah, it would be. Yes, it would be. I think. Depending on your theology.
So, what my kids are saying.
Yeah, people want their family members saved before He comes. God is patient, not wanting any to perish. So, all right, here we is. Always exciting preaching on Easter morning. I always struggle, you know, because Easter morning should be every day. Like, we're alive in Christ. Mm-hmm. And maybe we just need to be reminded, but for me, it's Liberation Day. I just think, this is freedom. This is what it's all about. Yeah. I mean, I was dead in my sins, and now I'm alive in Christ. So I call it Liberation Day. And Colossians 2, verse 13. You, me, being dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all our trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It's Victory Day. It's Liberation Day, 1945. Do you remember? Maybe somebody does.
No.
May 5th.
45? I don't remember 45.
Maybe May 5th. There were people alive. You were alive, right?
Yeah.
1945.
Yeah.
May 5th, the end of the war. Liberation Day. Trump gave us Liberation Day. Did you know that back in 2025? He said he was going to liberate the United States from the other nations robbing us, so he imposed tariffs. That's not my kind of liberation.
No.
When I read this, this is my kind of liberation. Victory over sin, victory over death. This is what it's all about. And Christ has purchased it for us. So, this is our Liberation Day. Are you living in the liberty of the saints? That's the question.
Yeah.
You have to ask yourself, am I still bound? Am I still, you know, struggling? Maybe you struggle, but there should be freedom. The cross has purchased freedom for us. And I want to look at that. And the biggest thing that Christ has purchased for us, this is what it's about, liberation from the fear of death. So I'm just going to take you through the scriptures, going to do a little bit of teaching, maybe some prompting and prodding, and thought of this song this morning when I woke up. Greatest day in history. Death is beaten.
You have rescued me.
Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal. You have won the day. It's victory for the saints, right? It's victory. I can send you this. Jesus said, we will never die. He who believes in me will never die. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. He has conquered death. He rose from the grave. We're in Christ. His victory is our victory. So we are studying Romans 8. Most of this is going to come from Romans. Here's the truth. Okay? Here's the truth. Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you.
Good.
You believe that? I mean, that should get you excited. That should change the way you live, friends. Because you have been liberated. Just as He raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal body by His same Spirit living within you. Okay? By this same Spirit, we are alive in Christ right now. There's coming a day when we will be fully alive, set free from these bodies, to live forevermore in glory with Him. That's the truth of Scripture. How and why is that possible? Hebrews tells us, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those, liberate those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Do you fear death? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you do not need to fear death.
Right.
If you fear death, you really haven't understood the gospel.
Right.
And what Christ has done. If you're afraid to die, come and talk to me. Because death is victory. It's release from this body, from this world, which is decaying, both of them before our eyes. Listen to Romans 8:23. If you want to turn to Romans, that's where most of this is going to come from. 8:23 and 24. Now, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our body. How do you know you're going to get to heaven, that you're going to conquer death? How do you know that? Because the Spirit of God is a guarantee. It says in the scripture that he has deposited his Spirit, guaranteeing glory. If you have the Spirit of God, you're guaranteed glory. Okay? That's a wonderful hope we have. That is hope. It's hope.
How does one gain the Spirit of God?
Yes. The cross. The cross, right? We're going to talk about that. So, Liberation Day. For those of us who know Jesus and are waiting for Jesus, we will receive new bodies. This is the hope. Okay, how many are struggling with stuff, physical stuff? Okay, I'm sure all the hands can go up. We're just too proud to admit it, maybe. But I'm struggling. Lots of people are struggling. Okay, I don't care if you're 5 or 65. Living in this body, it cuts, it bruises, it falls, we scrape our knees, we run, we have trouble breathing, we limp, we injure ourselves, and I used to play basketball with these guys till last year, right? Can't do that anymore. They're way too fast and way too strong, and they forget that I'm an old man, and they push me around and knock me to the ground. And then I can't walk for 6 weeks. Just take this jump, Grandpa.
Not sure whose fault that is.
I ain't who I used to be. But I'm going to be somebody new, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Philippians 3:20 tells us, our citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
Now, okay, I have a hard time convincing people that we are seated in Christ right now. Okay? That's why we look forward to heaven. We don't live for this planet. We live for the next reality, which is heaven. Okay. So we're already seated in heaven. That's where our citizenship is. We're passing through. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, listen. How do you know someone is truly born again and filled with the Spirit of God? Because they want to see Jesus face to face, and they want what's waiting for them.
Right.
We're eagerly waiting for the Savior. Who? What is he going to do? By the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, Jesus is going to return, and he's going to right every wrong, he's going to fix every problem, and he's going to give it away. New heaven, new earth. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He will transform our lowly bodies, these fleshly bodies, so that they will be like his glorious body. We will be like him. How is he now? Resurrected, alive.
Right.
You can read the story about the resurrection of the Gospels. Mm-hmm. He could teleport from one place to another. He was not a ghost. He could eat. Yep. He could, there's no more pain. There's no more sorrow, no more suffering. He could travel. I don't think he went through walls, but somehow he just appeared with the disciples.
Right.
Okay? We have no idea. No eye has seen, no ears heard. What God has prepared for those who love him.
That's okay?
We can't even fathom. We can get little glimpses in scripture of what's waiting for us, but this new body, it's not going to look like it does now. It's not going to have all the warts and defects and stuff and the pain and the suffering. It's not. It's going to be free. Okay? And Jesus is going to do that by the power that is in him. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to raise us up. Okay?
Amen.
Now, if you've been around the church for a while, you know this scripture, 1 Corinthians 15. Very It is the quintessential passage on the resurrection. No matter what your theology is, if you think it's the rapture or the resurrection, doesn't matter, because the ultimate teaching of this chapter is we're getting new bodies.
That's right.
Okay? And so I want to just read a portion of this, starting in verse 41 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. We come on planet Earth. We start decaying the moment we arrive. We're susceptible to all kinds of diseases and injuries and everything else. But it will be raised. It is raised incorruptible. No more of that stuff. That stuff will not affect us anymore. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Okay, we're weak, mortal flesh. We think we have power, we don't. One day, we're going to be raised in power, living fully in the power of the Holy Spirit, which we just have a taste of right now. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body, fully alive in the Spirit. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That's Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have life. Jesus came to give life. In him you have life. When do you have life? The moment you say yes to Jesus. Okay. How do you say yes to Jesus? It starts at the cross. Okay? It starts at the cross. You have to meet Jesus at the cross and allow him to take your sin away. Okay? You repent of your sin. You turn from that lifestyle. You turn to Christ. Say, oh God, the life you have for me, I've messed it up. I've blown it. I've lived for myself, not you. And I know that if I live for you, there's life. But I've chosen to live for myself, and it's death. Sin just produces death. And God, I want life, and I'm running to you, and I know you're the source of life. And so I run to you, and I confess my sins and repent. And I say, Jesus, fill me. Come, forgive my sins, and fill me with you, your Spirit. That is the great hope we have. That anybody who's done that will understand this message. Because immediately, you're born again, you're Amen. Made alive, you receive eternal life, and you're not earthly focused anymore, you're heaven bound, okay? Yeah. You start looking up. Friends, I remember the day I got born again, and the next morning I went outside, and everything yes. changed. Mm-hmm. Everything changed. Everything was different. My eyes saw greener greens and bluer blues, and I just saw creation for all it was. And I understood for the first time that it was not evolution. Nothing. Evolution creates nothing. God creates everything out of nothing.
That's right. Okay?
And I realize that everything that I see has been put there by God and is declared to reproduce.
Yes.
So when that tree
yes.
dies and drops its acorns, another tree will take root.
That's right.
It's just incredible. You start to see all of God's creation in a totally different way. Okay?
Yeah.
And this is just a little picture of what's waiting for us on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the children of God. That was a sermon last week. We are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him.
Hallelujah.
Okay? We shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And this is a wonderful truth. What are we going to look like on the other side when we cross over into eternity, into the kingdom of God forever? We're going to look like Jesus.
Yeah.
You want to find out what that looks like? Go and read your Bible. Read the end of the Gospels, read the beginning of Acts where he's taken up, read in the garden where he's revealed, what's that called? Oh my goodness.
Transfiguration,
thank you. And you'll see the glory of God will envelop you and fill you and give you new bodies, just like his. So that's the message, okay? The message is, the glory that God originally designed for us will be restored.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And friends, I mean, when you start to see this, that we are created in the image of God. And God has allowed, because of our sin, for us to be contaminated and distorted and tarnished. He didn't do that. We brought it on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the consequences of sin. Okay. The image of God has been tainted and corrupted. And one day, we will be transformed into what we're supposed to be. And when we say yes to Jesus, we actually start that process right now. God is transforming us according to the image of his Son. And we will be like him when he fully comes back and takes us to be with him and resurrects us. We will be fully like him once and for all. Okay? And that's our hope. So for those of you who don't know this, I just want to take you through this teaching. Just from the book of Romans. Here it is. Glory restored. This is really the heart of the message. Liberation for the Christian is to have the glory of God restored, which through sin and Satan and following your own way has been taken away from you. So you know the story. The Adam, let's just go there, Genesis 3:17. I don't want to take it out. Adam sinned. Adam and Eve sinned, although Adam gets the blame. Eve was tempted. Adam was just stupid. Verse 17. When Adam's sin, curse came on both of them. And in verse 17, God says, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it. And the days of your life, both thorns and thistles, it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The ground is cursed. Adam's cursed. It used to be real fun living in the garden. Woohoo, no insects, nothing. Just... Adam, just till the garden. Just look after the garden. That's all I'm asking you to do. And don't eat from that one tree. One tree, Adam. Everything else you can eat from, don't eat from that tree. You know what happens. When you say don't, we do. And then the curse comes. The curse is a natural consequence of us choosing to sin. Okay? We can live outside of the curse if we choose Jesus. That's what Galatians 3:13 is about. It says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He became a curse so that we don't receive the curse on us anymore. Okay? This is fascinating truth. It is written, curse is everyone who hangs on a tree. He hung on a tree. He received the curse. We've been looking in Romans chapter 6 especially. We've been crucified with him. We've already suffered the consequence of the curse. It was paid for at the cross. We're free from the curse. Okay? Now, I could go into all kinds of testimonies, but listen, maybe I said this before, but I know women in childbirth who claim in Christ the curse is broken and they don't have pain while they're delivering their child, because that's part of the curse. And in Christ, I mean, it's going to hurt, but it's going to be extraordinarily unpleasant. Okay? Do you know anybody who's done that? That's truth.
I didn't know
it. And all the women are saying, yeah, right, you'll never have a kid.
It's not so far-fetched when you relax in that, in what God meant for your body to do, it changes
Amen.
How you experience
Thank you.
It.
Testimony.
Amen.
There's a testimony.
I think the assumption that every woman will not have pain in childbirth is a bit far-fetched. Mm-hmm. However, to not have pain is possible. Or
I do know women who have done exactly what you did.
Yes.
Claim that the curse is broken and their childbearing was much less than the screaming women beside them. So we're under the curse, but in Christ the curse is broken. Now let's go to Romans, because I just want to take you through Romans real quick and show you the scriptures are up there, right?
Yes.
So because we chose sin, and humanity has chosen sin, to disobey God, not obey God, we change the glory of the incorruptible God, verse 23 of chapter 1, into the image made like corruptible man. So we don't want to worship God, we want to worship what we want to worship.
That's right.
Okay? And usually that ends up being ourselves. We want to be the master of our own destiny. So we exchange the glory of God for an idol. In Romans 3:23 it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin corrupts us. Okay, it ruins our lives. But in chapter 5, we have this wonderful hope. Verse 1 and 2. Having been justified, that is declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. When we have been declared righteous, no longer sinners, no longer guilty of sin, and we receive the hope of eternal life, glory is our destination,
yeah.
Our goal. It's what we look forward to. We don't look at the sin anymore.
Right.
It's been paid for and dealt with. We now look for the hope of glory when we be liberated from these bodies and set into the freedom of the sons of God. Okay? Glory revealed, Romans 8, 17 to 18. Listen to this. I read this last time. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Here's how you know if you belong to Jesus, you've been born again, if you're a child of God. Okay. Not a child of God until this happens, by the way. Break the myth out there that everyone on planet Earth is a child of God. That's not true.
That's right.
Okay? No one's child of God if you're born again.
Okay.
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit of God is testifying that you belong to God, that you're his child. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. We looked at that last time. That the way to glory is through suffering. Friends, that's why we suffer. Why do we suffer? Why is it that our bodies have to go through this deterioration, this decay process that is on everybody? Because it makes us long for heaven. If we had great bodies now, we'd never think of leaving this planet. We'd actually want to stay here. But because it's so tough living on planet Earth, with you think about it, cancers, heart disease. Should I keep going? Those are the two number one killers on planet Earth. Overeating. I mean, the health industry with the gyms and the diet pills and this treatment and that treatment and that diet, it's just like multi-trillion dollars. We focus on our bodies that are decaying. It's ludicrous. This is a lie the enemy puts in our brain. Yeah, we better steward this body, but who cares? It's dying.
Yeah.
Everybody will die. We're under the curse of death. It's been defeated at the cross, but one day it will be completely defeated, right?
Amen.
Okay, so it's not there yet. There's nobody on this planet who doesn't die. Nobody. And I don't know any Enochs and Elijahs who've been raptured up lately, have you? Don't know any. The only way we don't die is if Jesus comes back and raptures us out of here. So, suffering makes us long for glory. Glory, according to Romans 8, 19, the earnest expectation of the creation, that's us, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us. I'm going to talk about this in a moment. Very powerful statement. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. All of creation is under the curse because of God's declaration that in the day you eat this, you shall die, and the ground shall be cursed as well. Creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty. Okay, that's liberation. It's glorious. It's glorious to think, friends, that we are on our way to heaven, and one day these bodies that are decaying will be transformed into our glorious heavenly body. Okay? It's wonderful. And here's a truth. In verse 29, 30. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God knew you before you were born. The moment you say yes to Jesus is the moment you start to be transformed into the image of Christ. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay? He's first. He's the first fruits. Moreover, whom he predestined, declared to be conformed to the image of Christ, he called. Who he called, he justified, declared you righteous. Whom he justified, he declared you glorified. Okay? Friends, it's a done deal. I don't know how to explain that any more than to say, he's already declared you glorified. Why? Because the Spirit of God is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay? I'm going to talk about that at the end, but it's hard not to get there because it's so exciting. I don't know, I get so excited when I think of this. It's guaranteed. And this is going to rock your world. But you put all these scriptures together, you start realizing, hey, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can take me from his hand.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing can pluck me out of my Father's hand. Friends, it's guaranteed. Why? Because the Spirit of God is a deposit guaranteeing my inheritance.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thank you.
I could go on and on about that, but... If you don't have that assurance that I'm going to get there because inside of me God lives. I'm not going to get there myself. God is going to get me there because he's transforming me into the image of his son. Okay? If you don't have that assurance, it's going to be a really tough life. Mm-hmm. Every time you sin, you're going to be, oh God, am I going to lose my salvation? Oh Spirit, are you going to leave me? No. It's a guarantee.
Right.
It's a guarantee. Okay? That's not a way to live. That's not freedom. That's not liberation. Will he ever forgive me? Can he forgive this sin? Yeah. Look at the cross. He died for every sin ever committed, past, present, and future. Whoever.
Right.
Okay? If you have the Spirit, you're going to heaven. Liberation from death. What is the ultimate everlasting life? Which you have the moment you believe is just not fully realized. This is what we call the now and not yet theology, okay? We have a taste of it, but we're going to be fully realizing it in glory. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. Those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else, will live again. That is a great promise. He's telling this to Mary and Martha, who just lost Lazarus. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. Never perish. They are given eternal life for believing in me. How do you get to heaven? You put your faith in a crucified Savior. You receive his forgiveness. And when you do that, then you receive his life in you, his everlasting life. Okay? Here's the rest of that. 1 Corinthians 15. Our perishable earthly bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die. When this happens, when our perishable earthly bodies have been transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die, then at last the scriptures will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. How we thank God who gives us the victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We have the victory if you are in Christ. And you have it already. Hallelujah. You've been liberated. Glory is destined. It's so much so that God, when he's writing in Romans 8, as I just read, declares that you have been glorified. It's a done deal. You put all the scriptures together, okay? Ephesians, Jesus is seated in the heavenly places, and you are seated there with him, okay? Friends, this is the promise of eternal life for those who believe in Christ. All of creation, number two. That was the first point. These are much shorter, so don't get too excited. All of creation will be liberated. As I showed you, creation is under a curse, which he says in 8:20, right? Creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. Adam's sin caused the whole world to go out of whack.
Right.
Everything. That's why there's, you know, disease on trees and disease on plants and bugs. You know what? People hate winter, but I'll tell you something. I opened that door for 2 minutes and bugs came in. I never had that problem for 4 months in the wintertime. I love winter because I don't like bugs. They're part of the curse. Okay, I'm sure some of them God uses for his glory and to make things happen. I mean, we need bees for pollination, all that stuff, you know. But there are some bugs, just, I don't know why they exist. Why do mosquitoes exist? I don't know. Just to bug Alberta. First, us, then the new heaven and new earth. Watch what it says. The earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, if you just let that sink in, The earnest expectation of the creation, the created world that we see, is waiting for the glory of the sons of God to be revealed. Because when Jesus comes back and redeems us and gives us a glorified body, what's next? Creation is going to be glorified as well. It's going to receive the liberty that it's waiting to receive. Okay? It's decaying. Everywhere you go, it's decaying. Okay, we have floods. I don't have to give you this. I just go for a walk in your park and you'll see trees that are falling down. Every storm there seems to be a litter of branches all over the place. Like the world seems to be crumbling before our eyes, right? Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. It's under the same corruption our bodies are under, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. it will be set free as well as us. So, here's the logical conclusion. All the work on planet Earth by those people who think they can save the planet and save the whales and do everything and whatever, her, what's her name, who goes around?
Greta.
Greta. It ain't gonna happen. There's nothing people can do to save this planet from destruction because it's already set in motion to decay. Everything's decaying. And it will continue to decay till the moment Jesus comes back and resurrects us into new bodies, and then he's gonna fix creation. Don't give money to save the whales. Don't send your money to Greenpeace or anybody else, because it's just throwing the garbage, if that's what you want to do. Or give it to, I don't know, give it to the church so they can, yeah, there you go, so they can preach the gospel.
So we can make more grass.
I just think it's a losing battle. If you know something is going to decay, why are we going to, like,
pour money into it?
Pour money, time, effort, anything. And just, you know, this is scriptural. This is like, the creation is groaning. It's crying out, when? And it knows when. When we get changed, it'll get changed. Here's what Peter says. 2 Peter. Read this to your tree hugger friends next time.
Oh gosh. But stay 50.
The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up.
Yep.
Wow. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved again, even the heavens. Why are stars falling from the sky? Listen, it doesn't matter how many, you know, lunar missions there are. They're never going to change the moon.
That's right.
They're never going to inhabit the moon or Mars because it's not inhabitable. God has just said it's Earth.
Right.
The meek will inherit the Earth.
That's right.
There'll never be life on Mars or whatever other planet. So, I shouldn't go down this road, but I think there's a housing problem. But we'll spend billions and trillions of dollars sending people to the moon, which we'll never have. We'll never put houses on there. Okay? If we took that money and invested in housing and cleaning up planet Earth, the people on planet Earth, instead of... It's common sense, isn't it? We should be writing our politicians. What are you doing with my money? It's a losing battle. I digress. Because of which the heavens will be dissolving on fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, in which righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3, is that up there? Yeah. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot. And here's where you should invest your time and money, on allowing God to change you into the likeness of Christ, okay? That's scripture. This is what it says. So, our hope is not just new bodies, it's inheriting the earth. Romans 4:13, I'll just show you this because it's Romans. You know, the more you study Romans, the more you realize everything's in there. Romans 4:13. The promise that he would be the heir of the world, he's talking to Abraham, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. He's going to inherit the world. And so are those the seed of Abraham. That's us. The church is the seed of Abraham. We're going to inherit the world. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I mean, if you look up those verses in Psalm 37, 9, 11, 22, 29, 34, they're all about the righteous inheriting the earth. What is our inheritance? We're going to get God's kingdom on planet Earth. Think about that. It'll be a completely new, renewed Earth with no more floods and no more decay. And it'll be absolutely spontaneous. So, I mean, phenomenal. So that when you step out of your house, assuming we live in these mansions, whatever they are that Jesus is building for us, and we step outside, there won't be brown leaves. There won't be dead branches falling off. Okay? There won't be floods and torrential downpours. There'll be this river from God, a crystal sea coming from the throne of God. There won't be sun and moon anymore. You know what the Bible says? God and Jesus will be the light. Friends, we have no eye has seen, no ears heard what God has prepared for those. Look, we can't even fathom what's waiting for us. Right? It's phenomenal. And I think when you get born again, you get a glimpse of it. Because you get to, for once in your life, you see things from a heavenly mindset. And the goal of the Christian life, I think, is to stay in that space where you continue to see spiritual things, okay? Yeah. Think about whatever love name, pure, set your mind on things above. You keep looking above. Lord, I'm so excited. And I see this all the time, but it's true. Like, I know some of you are struggling, and some of you are hiding it, that's okay. But when you struggle, you gotta be looking forward to your new body, right? You gotta be looking. No more knee problems, no more back problems. It's like, I can't wait. And not even about me. I can't wait till there's no more drug problem. Yes. There's no more people dying from fentanyl. Yes. There's no more rapes and murders and suicides and all that. I can't wait for that day, right? Yeah. Like, that's our hope. If you have the Spirit of God, that's your inheritance. So, watch what it says, verse 16, 17. The Spirit himself bears witness of our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Heirs of God. Do you know what the Psalms say and what the Bible says? Your first inheritance, if you're truly a child of God, is to desire God. Okay? We are. What's the first thing we're going to inherit? God. No more sin, no more stuff in the way, you know, no more distractions. You go to prayer and the enemy's there and he's, you know, whispering stuff and you want to read your Bible on your phone, you get this text or this news story or something, it's just like there's so much interference on planet Earth. I can't have God all to myself, right? When we're glorified, we get God all to ourselves. It's going to be phenomenal. The psalmist says, Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Okay? We inherit eternal life. That's a no-brainer. The moment you're saved, you don't have to wait for it. You can live in eternal life right now. We will never die. You will never die if you believe, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Never. And we're going to inherit the kingdom. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Isn't that a phenomenal line? There's this whole new reality that we're going to experience that we have no clue what it's going to be like. So, we are liberated from the fear of death because of Christ. We realize that all of creation will be liberated as well because of Christ. And we realize that because of being liberated, there's an incredible inheritance waiting for us. Okay? It's going to be phenomenal. And that should be our focus. Jesus said, put your treasure in heaven, not on earth where moth and rust destroy. If you want, you know, look forward to something and really invest into something, invest into heaven. Because I think Ruth said, you know, you might get, I mean, we're born to die. Think about it. Some people are born and then they die immediately. We have no idea how long we got on planet Earth. Okay? I mean, age is no respecter of persons.
Right.
I know I buried children, teenagers, middle-aged, young adults. I buried them all. Everybody dies. But in Christ, we'll never die. The moment you believe, okay? It's living with that hope that I will never die because of Christ. I either have eternal life with God, or the option, if I don't put my faith in Christ, is eternal death, which is separation from God. And I'll be sent not to this beautiful, new, recreated, new heavens and new earth. I'll be sent to a place that is really not pleasant called hell, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is never quenched, okay? So, you know, just like Moses said to the Israelites, I set before you life and death. You choose. So you either choose Jesus and live forever, or you choose your way and die forever. That's a good way to put it. Let me close with this great, wonderful truth from the book of Romans. Liberation is secured. It is secured. Our liberation, Jesus died to purchase our freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
And he's risen. He's risen indeed. Where is he risen? He's risen in me. Okay? So, here's a wonderful truth. Our groans of living on planet Earth are heard by our Father. We yes. saw this last week. We have the spirit of adoption. We've been adopted into the family of God, and we cry out, Abba, Father. And I really believe if you put that verse in verse 23, which says, not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body, from the point where we become children of God by faith in Christ, to the point where we finally get glorified, it's a battle. It's a earthly battle with the flesh, and it's an earthly battle as we struggle through disease and decay, and we struggle with relationships, and we struggle with all the stuff that planet Earth throws at us, and the enemy throws at us, and relational issues, and people disappointing us and upsetting us. Friends, you know how hard it is on planet Earth. God has put, because of our relationship with him through Christ, that we can cry out to God. And we can boldly enter the throne room and he hears us, according to Hebrews. Okay? Dad, why? I need help. That's what you say. Okay? God has made himself available. As long as you have that relationship, you're guaranteed of heaven. Okay? Yes. If you don't have that relationship with God, if you cannot cry out to God and have that comfort that the Holy Spirit, that God himself gives you, okay? Holy Spirit is a comfort in those times of need. If you don't have that, you need to start at the cross with Jesus and invite Jesus in your life and say, Father, I want a relationship with you. And he'll say, the only one way to have a relationship with me, that's through my Son. Okay? Good news. Holy Spirit helps. Verse 26, 27. The Spirit also helps in our weakness when we really don't even know what to pray. As we ought, the Spirit himself makes intercession us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit is groaning on our behalf. We're not groaning. We're not praying. He's the one doing it. Okay? He knows what the mind of the Lord is. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You don't even know how to pray, God. It's so hard. Why is my spouse dying? Why do I have to go through that? I don't even know what to pray, Lord. Spirit of God, take us to the throne room and intercede for me. That's how we live our lives.
Right.
Life is hard. There's groaning. It's groaning. There's crying. We cry out to God. Okay? And not only that, Jesus in verse 34, who is he who condemns? Nobody. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. You have the Spirit of God and Jesus, the Son of God, interceding for you before the throne room, asking God to give you mercy and grace in your time of need. Okay. Oh man, this is so good. Verse 8:28. We know that all things, all these things we suffer, all these trials and tribulations we go through, they all work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Everything you go through, every trial and tribulation, God is using you that to transform you to the image of his Son.
That's right.
Okay? He's preparing you for heaven. That's what he's doing. He's making you more like him. Verse 29. I already said this, but whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, whom he called, he justified, whom he justified, he glorified. Past tense, it's a done deal. He's declared it. This is the way it's going to be. Verse 31, God is for us. Who is against? The answer, nobody. If God is for you, nobody is against you, even the enemy. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own Son, God gave his very best, his one and only Son, delivered him up for us all who know him. How shall he not freely give us all things that he has promised to us? Eternal life, glory in heaven, okay? These are promises. When it's tough, you should take this list and just have it in your wallet so that when it gets really tough, you just go through this. Thank you, Lord, you're for me. Thank you, Lord, you've decreed that I'm getting there. Thank you, Lord, you're interceding for me. Thank you, Lord, you just see. Life is hard, mm-hmm. but I know you're fighting for me. Mm-hmm. And there's no condemnation. Jesus is going to get us to the finish line. And then this chapter closes with nothing, no thing on planet Earth can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Okay? And then he makes this bold statement, verse 37. In all these things, even when you are suffering for Christ, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Who loves us. If there's nothing else to hang on to, if life is that difficult, and you're even finding it hard to look up to heaven and see what's waiting for you, you just tell yourself, victory's in Jesus, and I'm in Jesus, and I'm going to make it because of him. Yeah. Friends, I just want to encourage you, if you have put your faith in Christ and you're a child of God, it's over and done with. It's secured. Okay? No matter what the enemy says, no matter what lies you believe, the truth of God's word stands forever. Hang on to that. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Seal this in our hearts.
Yes.
Help those who don't believe it to believe it. Help those who haven't even started the journey to come to Christ and repent of their sins and receive you as Lord and Savior of their lives so that they can be set on their way to eternal glory with you. Yes. Lord, for the rest of us as we go through life, continue to encourage us that the destination is worth the journey. Amen. We give you praise and honor because of Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.